May the dear Lord help me to say just a few things this afternoon from Psalm 84 and verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Psalm 84, verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. For the Lord God is a sun. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Oh, friends, what a favour it is when that light of the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ shines into our hearts, and it comprehends it not. It doesn't put it out. It has completely the opposite effect, doesn't it, friends? Those of you that have tasted, those of you that have had that glorious light shine into your heart, the people that sat in darkness. How long have you been sitting in darkness, friends? Have seen a great light. Oh, are you one of them? Am I? Sitting in the sanctuary of the Dicker, seeing that great eternal light shine into our hearts, into our breasts. Oh, what a favour divine. For the Lord God is a sun. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name is to be praised. May it be this afternoon, dear Lord, dear friends, that you start off the Lord's song. Just a few notes of that heavenly song. The sun. Because of the sun, everything here below exists. If you didn't have the sun, friends, nothing would exist. It would slowly deteriorate and go. Oh, the power of this glorious sun of righteousness. How are you this afternoon? How have you come in? Yes, we've come in with the natural heat, haven't we? We've come in with this sun unbearable outside. What about inside? I like that, friends, when you can't bear the sun outside. Because some of you, I believe, have had the sun shine in you and you couldn't bear it inside either, could you? It was too much for you, wasn't it? You asked the Lord to stop because he was pouring in his love and it shone so brightly into your heart. It's the same naturally, friends, isn't it? Oh, he that hath immortality only dwelling in the light. Oh, what comparisons he's put here with himself. Do we know any of it, friends? You know, for our God is a consuming fire. If you know that this side of the grave, you'll know something of the Son of Righteousness as well. If you don't know it this side of the grave, you will know it the other side. Man thinks himself so proud, doesn't he? He can't even look at the sun for a minute. I'm not sure the length of time you can look at the sun, but it's not long, friends, before it starts doing some damage. Oh, poor proud man. That's just naturally, isn't it? Have you ever looked at the Son of Righteousness and been able to stare at him? By real living faith, friends, your eyes wide open to see the glories there are in a precious Christ. That won't blind you. No. You'll feast there, friends. Oh, one said, didn't he, not to take our eyes off Jesus. Never. You've just been singing about him, haven't you? You think of those in glory this afternoon. Never to take their eyes off of the Son of Righteousness. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. I am black but comely because the sun hath looked upon me. What do you know of this sun? Do you know anything of this dear Son of Righteousness that shines? You know the natural sun? It kills, doesn't it? We're watching things slowly dying, aren't we? It's killing them, friends. But it's also making alive. It's also keeping things alive. The same heat, the same burning. It's doing two jobs, and that's exactly what it does in the soul. It kills and it makes alive. Oh, to be one of these, where the Lord kills, but he makes alive at the same time. You know, I spoke to an old soldier. He was in one of the wars, and he said he was out in the desert, and the sun was unbearable. Killing and making alive. But you know, they went to bed, they went into their tents, and they had a short shower in the night. And because of the warmth of the sun, he said, we got up and there was a whole field of flowers just outside the tent. He said, we'd never ever dreamt that that could be so. This beautiful sun of righteousness, when it shines into your heart, friends, there's so many good things about the sun, isn't there? So many properties that it has that you can't see. It burns us, doesn't it? But the Son of Righteousness, think of the properties he has as he looks into your soul, as he looks into your heart, and you have those sweet showers of blessing, and then you need the sun extra, don't you, to plump everything. You know, as you drive along, I don't know whether any of you notice, but God is faithful again with his harvest. We thank him, don't we, at Harvest Thanksgiving, but look at the fields now. He's turning them golden, friends. He was faithful. Doesn't matter what's going on in the nation, does it? Doesn't matter what's happening. God is faithful. He's turning the whole of the fields golden because of the sun. Well, the same in the spiritual realm, friends. You may not see it. You may not see it in others. But friends, I really believe that those dear children of God that are going to glory are being prepared as that golden wheat, ready for the harvest. Oh, this sun of righteousness. For our, the Lord God is a sun. He's told us. It couldn't be simpler, could it, friend? It couldn't be simpler to our poor, ignorant heart, could it? He's put the sun there. And he said, the Lord God is the sun. What are you looking for? Great visions? You know, the blind, they can't see the sun. They never will see the sun. But you know what they know? The warmth in their heart. The glowing on their body. That lovely warmth that the sun gives to them. That's enough for them. They know the sun's shining. And so it is with a child of God. You don't need... Friends, I really believe that there's so many that want these great big flashy visions like the old patriarchs had. Like the old prophets had. It's not like that. You have one of those, friends, and you'll be walking in chains. Like they were. You'll be walking in prison. It's the soft, gentle breezes. Those tender mercies of the Lord God. Those warmth breezes on the soul. The shinings. If the Lord was to shine in us with every beam of the sun, we wouldn't be able to stand it, would we? But you see those beams shining, don't you? One here and one there of his righteousness. You know, in far off countries, in Africa, they can't put up with the sun. They can't bear it. He's killing them. How different in Zion. You long for a visit from the Son of Righteousness, friends. Just one beam to come through here. Just one beam to rest in your heart so that you can call him yours. My God. My God. Like dear Thomas did, my Lord. How do you think he said that? A beam from that glory shone into his heart. The Son had visited. Dear Thomas, oh, he didn't need anything else, did he? Just a little beam of Jesus. My Lord and my God, is that what you want, friends, this afternoon? I do. Oh, I do. Shine into our hearts, dear Redeemer, shine. And then he makes everything right, doesn't he? He puts everything right as he comes. Isn't it a lovely thought when he comes, friends? When did we last have a visit from him? I'll tell you when you had it. I know when you had it. When you were in trouble. That's when you had it, friends. That's when you had a beam of that glorious righteousness shine into your heart. When you were out of your depth. All the time you can touch the bottom, it's all right. When you get out of the depth, friends, you'll need him then. You'll need the Son of Righteousness. And he does, doesn't he? Oh, look how he came to them, walking on the water. The Lord God, a son. They thought he was a spirit. And they were frightened. Oh, how different when he entered. Fear not. You know, I believe, I've driven along the road and I've seen all these beams coming through the clouds of the sun. And as I stand here, I believe everyone has something written on it for the earth. Fear not. I am with thee. Lo, I will be with thee always. Look at the sun shining, friends, through our clouds to reach us just where we are. Oh, may they shine this afternoon. Friends, if we haven't got an interest in these beams, it'll be a cold, hard life and a hot eternity. I must warn, because these things are in Scripture, and I'm accountable, friends, to him that is a son, the Lord God's son. Oh, happy is that people that has such a God. Happy is that people who is like unto them, saved by the Lord. Wonderful, isn't it, if we know something of this sun shining in our hearts. There's no darkness that it can't penetrate. And that's lovely to me. Solomon said, he in the thickest darkness dwells. He can penetrate whatever you're in, right into your heart. Sometimes, you know, when we look within, it seems so dark, doesn't it? It feels like nothing can shine inside, nothing. No promise is there, is it? There's no life. There's no godliness. There's no believing. There's nothing. Until he comes. And then what happens? Oh, he's only got to shine a little bit, hasn't he? And the whole of it lights up. In our experience. For the Lord God is a sun. Well, look at the comparison. A shield. Do we understand this? He said he's a sun that we can't stand before. So he's a shield as well, so that we can. Isn't that lovely? He's provided himself. The dear Lord Jesus himself, friends. The dear Redeemer, incarnate, has provided himself a sun and a shield to stand in between. There's a lovely word, isn't there, as it comes to my heart. A wall of fire round about and the glory in the midst. Do you need a shield? Do you need a shield this afternoon, friends? You say, I always need it. Not feelingly, you don't though, do you? A shield was part of that spiritual armour that I hope and pray that each one of us that believe have got on. That spiritual armour. Do you look down sometimes at your body and think, have I really got that armour on? The sword, the helmet, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. Am I really a Christian? Am I really a believer? And shield. And shield. You know, I was off to preach one morning. And I went down to get the car. And I walked round the other side of the car. And I saw a spider. And what she had done was she had all these little babies. And she had put them all into a tight ball. And she had strung this ball between two leaves. What she was doing was making them big enough so that it looked too big for a bird to eat. What do we see in that? Oh, the wisdom of God, friends. When I came back, do you know what she'd done? She had taken that big ball of spiders, babies, and she had wrapped them in a leaf. She wrapped the leaf right round them. And do you know, I stood there amazed as I saw God at work. He was putting a shield round those little spiders. And you think he hasn't got a shield round you. They were tucked away, safe from harm. No predator could get them, friends. She had actually done her job for God. And oh, what a lesson it is to you and me. He'll take care of you. He will. Whatever you're in, dear heart, he'll take care of you. He'll watch over you. He's already got the shield round you, but he wants you to know it's there. That's the thing, isn't it? Oh, we don't see that shield, do we, as we go into troubles, trials, whatever it is. We can't see that shield, but it's there, friends. You know, I used to work at a lorry factory. And I believe the Lord showed me this shield as clear, round his children. There was me and this one man that was a bit of a troublemaker on our own. And I spoke to him about something. He didn't like it. So he took hold of me and held me up by the scruff of my neck. And he pulled his arm back ready to punch. I didn't even have time to pray, friends. You think you're going to have time to pray? I just hung there. The blow never came. He couldn't actually let go. I saw there and then this unseen shield around his people. Have you seen the same? Have you proved it to be a good shield? Have you proved him to be a protector? Oh, he is. Friends, he is. Now, I'm not saying trouble won't come in. I'm not saying you won't get hurt. But I really believe the Lord proves his people to show them that he is around about them as a wall of fire. If you didn't come into these circumstances, you'd never see the shield, would you? He didn't say this to fill up the Bible, friends, and shield. You think of the opposites, the sun and a shield. Well, in the army, they used to use shields. They would always go to the room where the shields were kept and they'd always take the old shields. They wouldn't take the new ones because they knew that the old ones had come back. They'd been in and out of battle many times and they always came back. Yes, they were dented. Yes, they were bruised, but they always came back. And friends, the Lord will teach you and me to rely upon him. The shield. The shield. He's been tried for thousands. He's been given to thousands, friends. And they've been protected. They've been safe. What about you and me? Oh, prove him. Prove him, friends. I believe some of you have, haven't you? But oh, that we all might be proving that all our loved ones, right down to the grandchildren, the smallest, might prove him to be a sun and a shield. But then he says, a sun and a shield. You think how he stands between his people. In garments, dyed in blood. What a shield. Oh, friends, if only by faith we could get a little glimpse of Jesus in front of us, in front of my wretched soul, in front of me, such a sinful wretch, and there stands the glorious Son of God in garments dyed in blood as the shield forever. Forever? Think of that. Forever? He's never, ever not going to be a shield. Friends, he takes up these offices to fulfil them for eternity. He'll always be a shield between his people and the wrath of God forever. He's paid it. He's paid it. He stands there as a shield. Nothing will ever get through for eternity. What a beautiful thought, isn't it? If he's your shield, if he's my shield. Oh, the dear Redeemer, the Son, and he knows without a shield, you'll be lost. But he knows with the shield, you'll be safe. And if you see him and I do standing between us, between a holy God and a poor, wretched sinner, and it's only by faith you'll ever see it, friends, to see that he stood there from all eternity to preserve you, to perfect, to protect you, to defend you from all the onslaughts. But now it's walking it out, isn't it? He's walking it out. Because just one little dart from an angry man hurts, doesn't it? One tiny little word from the pit, it hurts, doesn't it? But think what it would do to you if that shield wasn't there, friends. Think what it would do to you. As it reaches you, it's already hit the shield. You just get a little bit, just a tiny little taste of what the shield went through. As he stood in the way of everything that came against the church as the glory shield. They couldn't see him, could they, as a shield? You know, if they'd seen him as a shield, they'd have never crucified him, would they? But they didn't see him till afterwards as a shield of his people. And the onslaughts of Satan that came against him. That's why I say every shield comes back to the room, friends, because we read the dear Lord Jesus came again from the dead. Oh, wonderful thought, isn't it? Peter says, doesn't he, begotten again unto a lively hope through the resurrection of the dear Redeemer as our shield. Well, he also says, and the Lord will give grace and glory. Amazed, aren't you? I'm amazed, friend, that he should give grace and glory to his people. Yes, if he said he'd give them grace. But to join them together, grace and glory. It's only in his light, you know, we see light. Because our poor, wretched nature thinks that we deserve it, and we don't. But in his light, you'll see grace and glory. But it's grace first. Grace to help us on our way. Grace to help us through our daily load. Grace to cause us to stand. How have you got thus far? Grace, friends, it's only grace. And you are what you are by the grace of God. Only by grace. Listen to what he says. And he's been giving it to thousands. He's actually been giving his grace to thousands. He giveth more grace. You think if you tasted it a few years ago, however long it was ago, if you taste it today, you're going to need more and more and more. And he's willing to give it. And he gives it out freely. Bountifully. Grace to needy souls. But he's going to make you need it. That's the thing. If you have his grace in your heart, friends, you're going to need it. You're going to need every single ounce of it that he ever gives to his people. Daily grace to keep you going. Daily grace to go to the throne of grace. Think of it. Daily grace to continue. There are those things come, aren't there? And you think, I'll never get through this. Grace. Grace will bring you through. Oh, it will. Grace stands, friends, the topmost stone. And well deserves the praise. It does. They shall bring forth the headstone crying, grace, grace unto it. Think to be there. But it's experiencing it here. We've got a pathway to walk out. However many steps to go, we don't know, do we? Only he knows. But every step we're going to need grace. Preserving grace. Overpowering grace. Grace to do his will. Grace to hear his voice. Grace to walk the way the Master went. It's all grace. You know, when you think of the dear life of Jesus, full of grace and truth. Full, friends. Absolutely full of grace and truth. It's something that you and I can't really understand, isn't it? But the dear Redeemer walked here below full of that blessing of God. Grace. free, unmerited grace. It's nothing you've influenced, friends. You didn't influence grace to come to you. You didn't pray specially. It's nothing in you at all, or me. It's uninfluenced. But grace comes because of the glorious, precious, sin-atoning blood. That's where grace flowed. And it flowed freely from Calvary. You know, I realised more and more all the blessings were there. Everything was at Calvary, friends. Everything. It was all fulfilled as the dear Redeemer hung bleeding. Those that were looking to him from the Old Testament and those that were looking back from the New Testament, everything was fulfilled there. Grace. Grace flowed. And if you ever want to see grace in action, friend, grace. Oh, grace so abundant, so free, if the Lord give you a view of a precious Christ. Oh, you'll see grace flowing then. Grace in abundance, friends. Look what he said. He said, Father, forgive them not. Grace. He said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Grace. Oh, it was flowing from his lips. It was flowing from his eyes. It was flowing from his heart. And it was flowing from his side. Grace. Think of it. Oh, the eternal love of God to poor, wretched, dying men. This afternoon, may we just have a little, just a tiny little taste. And we'll give grace. He's going to give it to you. More and more grace. Isn't that a lovely thought? The store's still as full as when you first went. Oh, this grace. But he says, and glory. Well, you know, as I looked at this text, I thought, this sums up the Apostle Paul's life, doesn't it? Completely. He was on his way to Damascus. And the sun shone round about him. The sun of righteousness shone round about him. Brighter than the sun at midday, the Apostle says. Think how he was blinded. He couldn't see, could he? Couldn't see anything. For the Lord God is a sun. Now the dear man needs a shield. He needs a shield. And so will you and I, friends, continually. Oh, when we go to bed, when we wake up, Lord, be that shield for me. You know, we were walking along, we went for a walk, and I saw this swan, and all these little baby swans, and a dog came along. And you know, the first thing she did was lifted her wing up and dropped it over the babies. And I thought, how wonderful, that's what God does. Safe under his wings. Safe, friend, beneath the shadow of his wings. That's the first thing he does to his people. He didn't fight the dog first, he covered them up. She covered them up first so that they were out of sight. And then with the other wing, she started to defend. And she was willing to lose her wing. She was willing to lose one wing to save those little ones. And the Apostle Paul, now he finds himself in the same position, doesn't he? He needs that shield to protect him from God. Strange, isn't it? That the same hand that cuts down builds up. The same God that strips binds. The same God that burns, heals. Now he was frightened of God. And he knew it needed a shield. Did the shield delay its coming? Didn't wait long, did he? He didn't wait long. You think of, I don't know whether you've ever thought of the Apostle Paul in the onslaughts of Satan, standing on the edge of a never-ending eternity, looking down into hell. He needed a shield. Blessed be God, he didn't leave him long, you know. Not compared with the life that Paul had had. Paul had had years and years of haling men and women into prison. Oh, the persecution, the pain that he had caused people, and yet the Lord didn't leave him standing there long, did he? send Ananias quickly to prove to Paul that the shield is round him. And he did. But look at the grace Paul needed in his life. I don't know whether any of you can go very long without grace. I don't think you can. I don't believe a child of God can go very long without grace. The Lord gave him a thorn in the flesh. Had Paul stopped crying? He'd been into the third heavens. And so that he shouldn't be exalted above measure, he gave him a thorn in the flesh. Why? Why give one of the most favoured servants of God of all time, of all this world, a thorn in the flesh? To give him grace, friends. That's why. It was to give him grace, and how abundantly he gave it to him. I've often thought, you know, you think that the dear Redeemer would have heard Paul and answered him quickly, wouldn't you? He besought the Lord three times so that he would take the thorn out. We have thorns in our flesh, don't we? Just naturally a thorn hurts, doesn't it? And you can't wait to get it out, can you? But then you have those thorns in your pathway. You have thorns, don't you, in your soul. You have thorns in your experience. You have thorns in your daily life, don't you? How many times have you been to the Lord with it? Paul went three times, that's all. That was enough, wasn't it? He asked the Lord to remove it. You would have thought the Lord would have done, wouldn't you? But that wouldn't have brought the grace that Paul needed. No. Paul needed grace. And this was the way that the Lord was going to usher it into him. Listen, you know the word very well. But all that the Spirit would speak it into our hearts, my grace. Yes, Paul, that grace that flows alone from me, not from you, Paul. That will sustain you. That will help you. That'll help you bear that little thorn that I've given you. But Paul, if you look at the size of that thorn and you look at the grace that I'm going to give you, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, how Paul held on to that, didn't he? But then it says, glory. Paul, he says, not for me only. There's a crown laid up in glory for Paul, which the Lord his God will give him, and not to him only, but to all those that love him. There's a crown laid up in glory, Paul, for you. But you need grace first to walk out this path, don't you? You need grace in your life, don't you? The grace of God before ever you get to glory. You can't have glory first. You know, our wretched nature thinks we can. It thinks we won't need grace. It thinks we'll have glory. But the teaching of the Lord is one thing at a time. Grace and glory. And the dear old Moses, he said, didn't he? He said, Lord, show me thy glory. If I found grace in thy sight, I beseech thee, show me now thy glory. You know, that dear old man, he wanted to see what was glory was. And he saw it in Christ. You know, Paul went into glory and he came out with a thorn, didn't he? Look at Moses. Dear Moses, he went into the cleft of the rock and he was only permitted to see the back parts of the dear Redeemer. That was glory. The three apostles, Jesus came, it came to that time when he should reveal himself, who he was as the Son of God in glory. He didn't just decide these things, friends. These were eternal purposes. These were things that these dear apostles, the Lord had it prepared for them that they should see Jesus in glory. And the time came. And he took them up into the Mount of Transfiguration and he was transfigured before them. Now if you read that, it looks like just one day he decided to do it. It was an eternal purpose. that those three should have a taste of glory. Grace and glory. And I really believe, friends, he showed them his glory so the rest of their pathway they saw that they needed grace before they got to glory, because they saw what was in front of them. It's a lovely word, isn't it? That word, to give you an expected end. And you know, those three disciples had an expected end. And what was it? To see Christ in glory. And that's what I believe he sets in front of every believer. It's not the streets of shining gold, is it? It's not the gold and the pearls, foundations of sapphires. It's not that, is it? It's not the saints, is it, around the throne? It's a precious Christ in glory. He will give grace and glory to each one of his people. Dear old Elisha, you know, he wanted a double portion of Elijah's. He'd seen him go to glory and he wanted a double portion of his spirit. Do you, friends? You've seen many of the servants of God gone from this pulpit into glory. Is it your prayer? Give me a double spirit of a portion of their spirit. They've gone in to that glorious place. They receive grace to continue. They receive grace to walk out their pathway. They receive grace under the trials and tribulations of this life. And they did receive grace, friends, because we saw it, didn't we? We saw them receiving grace, didn't we? Continuing. And now they've received glory and gone. They've only gone a little bit out of sight. It's just a little way. Because look how close these words are. And is in between them. Grace and glory. That's close, friend. That's very close. If you have a taste of grace, you'll have glory. You will. And it's not a far distant thing. It isn't. Because grace is a foretaste of glory. Grace is those few drops that come down here before you get to glory. Glory can't be here, can it? I hope it's not for some. I hope your heart's not set on the world and you think this is home, because it's not, friends. It's not. Those drops of grace that drop down into the heart, they're foretastes of glory, but they're called grace. Lovely thought, isn't it? If you've had one or two in your heart and you think that's a foretaste of what's to come in that glorious mansion. Ah. Oh. You know, I think of that man, Simon Magnus, wasn't it? It shows you what our heart is like. There he was following the apostles and he thought he could buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. He thought he could buy it. He offered money for it. That's to show us what we're like. Some people would like to buy grace, wouldn't they? You see it in others, don't you? And you think, I want that, I want that. That's what the heart says, doesn't it? And the poor man, he had to learn a lot, didn't he? Paul said, your money perish with you, or Peter. Your money perish with you. The gifts of God are without repentance, friends. Oh, this glorious gift of grace that he pours upon his people. I'll put it plainly, we won't make it to glory unless we have grace. We won't. You've got to have grace and glory. The dying thief, he came to stepping distance into glory, but he had grace first. And what was the grace? Lord, remember me. Remember me. Grace. He had enough grace poured into his heart to ask one question as he died. Remember me. And the Lord poured glory back into his heart, friends. Grace and glory today. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't need any more grace, did he? He had a little bit of grace to die on and he entered glory through the precious Redeemer's own words. Oh, this flowing grace of his love. You know, the woman at the well, the disciples tried to redirect the grace, didn't they? If he knew who she was, think of what they said. Don't you see your heart there? I do. Tremblingly, I do, friends. If he knew who she was, he wouldn't talk to her. Do you know what they were doing? They were trying to redirect the grace to someone that they thought. And grace can't be redirected, friends. It flows freely and abundantly to the people of his choice. And there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing that can stop the grace of God flowing into the sinner's heart that's chosen before time began. Oh, think of it. He still blessed her, didn't he? He still blessed her, friends, abundantly. She received grace and her life changed. Her life changed completely. And so it will you and me. But we need it daily, don't we? Don't you have that in your heart, those propensities to turn again from him? And yet there's something in you trying to turn to him, isn't there? A warfare going on. One side of you wants grace and the other side wants the world. One's desiring holiness and glory and the other side's desiring this earth. Oh, what a complex situation we're in, aren't we? But he says grace and glory. Oh, it's tied together. Those things that are knit together by God, friends, none can undo. It says in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, it says a threefold cord cannot easily be broken. There's many ways of looking at that, but I see it here. Grace, one cord. Glory, another cord. You and me, another. Bound together, friends. Cannot easily be broken. Grace and glory. And you. Isn't it lovely? If you've really tasted of this glory, this grace, friends, you'll taste of that everlasting glory one day. And the hymn writer says, then loudest of the crowd I'll sing, while heaven's resounding mansions ring with shouts of sovereign grace. And there's many there today that received grace here, and now they're receiving glory upon their heads for eternity. May we each be prepared. The time's gone, so I'll have to leave it. But I'll just read the rest of it, because, oh, if the Holy Spirit seal it within our breasts, no good thing. You have to stand in awe of him, don't you? You have to stand, don't you, silent before that loving, gracious God. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. There's nothing that you need that he won't provide for you. I leave you with this one word. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. No good thing, friend, whatever you need, will ever be withheld from you. And one day, you'll hold him yourself. No good thing will he withhold from you. Think of it. Isn't it lovely? He doesn't withhold one thing, friends, not one thing. We withhold everything from him, everything. Our service, our strength, our thoughts, our words, everything we withhold from him. And for eternity, he never withhold anything that's good. And the best thing is himself. May we know it. May the dear Lord forgive anything that's been said amiss. Amen.